following the song of the fig tree, another of the Shiva Saminim, another of the seven fruits with which the Holy Land is blessed, sings out its song, sings its praise. And that is the song of the pomegranate, the Rimoin. What is its song? What does the Rimoin say? It sings a beautiful pasuk, half pasuk, from Shir HaShirim. Kefelach HaRimoin Rakoseich, Mibaad Letzamoseich. In the fourth chapter of Shir HaShirim, and it roughly translates as your brow, your forehead, which is behind your veil, is like a split pomegranate, which sounds a little bit strange at first. It's not the sort of thing that you, Shir HaShirim, which is meant to be the song of somebody looking after their, or looking out, searching for their beloved. And it's meant to be reminiscent of our relationship with Hashem. It sounds like a little bit of a strange type of compliment, almost like the old story of the guy who's just trying to find the right words to say with this to this girl he wants to propose to, and she's it's almost happening. They, you know, it's been a successful shidduch so far. And finally, he's going to get to that time, and he says to his friend, I just need a good phrase, a good something. When I look at her, that she'll be struck by the poetic nature of my thoughts. So his friend thinks for a bit and says, "Oh, you know what you should say. You should tell her how, basically, when I look at you, time stands still." And the friend thinks, what an amazing idea, what a beautiful, when I look at you, time stands still, and he memorizes it, on and on and on, he's got it internalized. And yes, that evening, he's all dressed up, ready with a bouquet of flowers, and it's going to be a special, special evening. And they're sitting together, and they have a wonderful time, they have a nice drink, and he looks at her, turns to her, and she looks at him expectantly, and his mind goes blank, and he's thinking, what's that phrase in the back of his mind? And he looks at it and goes, oh yes, your face could stop a clock. Not quite sure how successful that one is. Nevertheless, we kind of have to understand that when we are translating, by translating, I don't mean just the literal words. I also mean the message of something from a biblical phrase. It's going to say something more than that. We need to interpret. What does it mean? The brow behind the veil is like a split pomegranate. Now, amazingly, turn your attention straight away to Rashi on the spot. Rashi, the chief commentator, points out that the upper part of the face, which is rakoseh, the forehead, the brow, even in Old French, is, I guess my accent isn't amazing, but is pomelle or something like that, which is a pomegranate, or in Old French anyway. And then he actually points out that not that the Gemara really needs another language to back it up, but the Gemara refers to the idea of the forehead or the brow as being rimoin aponim, the face's pomegranate. It's somehow to do with the fact that the split, and if there's a certain symmetry there, it represents what happens when you split a pomegranate. Very mysterious, and I can't say that I have a full handle on what that means. But delving a bit further on what is this got to do with, you know, rimon aponim and aponim and the brow and the veil and the dafka specifically associated with the rimoin, I started thinking about what that ponim, what that face actually means. And we do know, and we've spoken about this before, that the word ponim, face, is the same, almost the same word, but it's the same letters for sure, just different vowels, as panim. Ponim, which is your face, is the outside, and panim is the inside. And as we know, kamayim ponim el ponim, as the other words of Shlomo Melech said, the face will reflect your inside. Unless you're faking or you're good, a good actor, you can tell somebody's, you know, fake smile. You can see if somebody looks a little bit displeased. Yes, there are, you know, some people are better at it than others. But for sure, generally speaking, the face is usually a reflection of the inner mood and the inner mode of a person. Now, when we talk about the land of Israel, which was split into its various portions, 12, let's, for argument's sake, let's talk about the 12 tribes, and I know that sometimes it's 13. We know that the tribes, the Shvatim themselves, Reuven, Shimon, etc., all of them are given a praise that when they were faced with being truthful, they are described, Chazal describe it, Rashi brings this, as piv v'liboy shovin, when the mouth, i.e. the face, the outside, and the heart parallel each other. Now, that doesn't just mean that they are calm on the outside and calm on the inside. Of course, that is a part of it. But it means there is a certain true element of the inner self which shines forth, and they would not want to compromise the truth of that matter. And if you open up that pomegranate, you find something amazing. Because in the previous two, not episodes, because there's a few episodes, so the previous two songs, we had the Geffen. We had the cluster of grapes, and we spoke about the unity of a cluster. You see them all sort of individual on the cluster, you know, one by itself is nothing. We then saw the individuality of the fig, the te'enor, they ripen at different speeds, different times, and you have to watch. It's all those things that we said in previous installments. And it occurred to me that the rimon, this pomegranate, actually encapsulates both, because you open it up, you have a look inside, and you've got those seeds which are kind of clustered together, but they are clearly individualized. Each one maintains its individuality, protected on the outside. It does kind of the job of both the Geffen and the Te'enor combined. And that's the penim, the inside, and that's expressed by the wholeness on the outside, the ponim and the penim. And you know what? We're entering the month of Adar, where we talk about the hiddenness being revealed, where the inside secrets are revealed. The Vilna Gaon famously says that Megillas Esther does not just mean the scroll of Esther. Megillah, a scroll, is from the root to reveal, because as you scroll down, yes, you reveal more of the screen, but as you scroll a scroll, you reveal more. And Esther, of course, comes from the word Lastir, Hester, which means hiddenness. Megillas Esther, therefore, says the Gra, means revealing of the hidden. When you have clarity, the true self, it shines forth in a very positive way. We've come across the idea, Meshenichnas Yayin Yetzei Soid, just like Meshenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha, when Adar comes in, we increase in Simcha. It's not an accident that the phrases are parallel. Meshenichnas Yayin, when the wine goes in, Yetzei Soid, the secrets come out. And yes, we've expressed how wine can be positive and negative. See previous podcasts for that. If used properly and you've worked on yourself, it expresses wisdom, it expresses clarity, the barriers come down and you're willing to accept and see the truth for what it is. If you haven't, then what the inner core is revealed to the world, and it's not necessarily a good thing. So it's not, think carefully before you have one drink too many. The soid, the secret, which is part of your soid is a foundation. It's the hidden part of the building. If it's strong, then the whole binyan, the whole structure, will be much stronger. Yayin and soid are counterbalanced. And yes, yayin, as we've said, is the number 70. 70, the full expression of the natural world, the 70 nations, and the 70 languages. And soid is also 70, because it's exactly balanced. And of course, we say shivim ponim laTorah. There are 70 different aspects in Torah. Each individual seed of that pomegranate had its individual part. Malei mitzvis karimoin, that is the pomegranate.